How do sick and injured people get help during a storm? It's a matter of life and death for some patients riding out the storm in hospitals, long-term care facilities, or at home. Maintaining the healthcare system during an emergency is a job of Chris Crabtree. He's the director of Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management. It's a statewide organization that works with every level of Hawaii's healthcare system, including hospitals, dialysis clinics, assisted living facilities, blood banks, and pharmacies. Chris spoke with the Conversations Ryan Finnerty earlier this morning to explain how he goes about preparing medical providers to maintain the chain of care during a disaster.
Typically with this type of event, whether it's tropical storm force winds or whether it's hurricane strength winds, rain's always a challenge because you have flooding, which impacts access to healthcare facilities, or it can. It can also cause, the wind and the rain can cause some power outages. But all the hospitals have backup generators, and they test them monthly. So that's not a concern in the short term. It's just in the long term that would be. And just ensuring that their supply chain is open, or they're able to get what they need in order to continue to provide the essential patient services that they're doing for the community.
And so how do you maintain those supply chains during a severe weather event like this? Because doctors, nurses, pharmacists, x-ray technicians, they're all people too. They all have families that they're worried about. How does any kind of facility in the healthcare system maintain its staff during an event like this?
It's a great question. And it's a question that we've actually looked at and planned for over years, just because it is common. We're looking at probably about 30 to 40% of the staff not showing up, simply either because access is a challenge they can't get through, or the concern over family. And so what the facilities are doing, and a coalition working with them, is coming up with plans. It's multifold. One is we ask the facilities within their plan is to establish a family care center. So that they need to consider bringing their staff and their family over to their facility if it's safe. Or sometimes it's more convenient to have the family in a shelter, and if they know they're safe, that's okay too. But if they have a plan and they're able to have the family safely at these healthcare facilities, then obviously the staff are able to work, and they don't have to be concerned about their family, and they know that they're being taken care of. And what that does is obviously allows them to focus on caring for the patients that they serve, and that peace of mind goes a long way. That's one thing that we do. It's also for pets as well that a lot of people don't consider, because pets are family to a lot of people, including myself. And so in the event, should there be pets involved, I ask the facilities to come up with a pet plan to be able to, have their workers or their staff to bring their pets and have them there at the facility, not necessarily inside, or there could be a room or something, but to have a plan so they're not in a care area, but they're in a safe area, just like family. So, again, they would have peace of mind and be able to focus and be able to come into work. Now, in the event that that's not enough, in the sense that there's still a shortage, we have several contingencies. One is we have a disaster medical response and recovery team of about 110 paramedics, physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists, admin and logistics staff that are on this team. And we can send those individuals to those different hospitals and different healthcare facilities to help augment. But we also have an MOU that says that we share everything from personnel to equipment and supplies. And through Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management, we manage and coordinate and prioritize who gets what and how much of that. And so, for example, Hurricane Iniki in 1992, we assisted Wilcox, which is a phenomenal hospital, with staffing their hospital because a lot of their workers were working 24/7 and they needed rest, and they needed to, finally get a chance to see how their homes were and check on family and stuff like that, as well as some just weren't able to make it in. So we pulled doctors and nurses from all over the state, from the different hospitals, and we coordinated getting them to that hospital and helping to staff that. So there's a lot of different approaches that we have in our plans and that we can do in order to try to meet those staffing needs.
And so you're able to address the staffing piece to an extent, but
yep.
What kind of reduction in services can we expect at any given healthcare facility with that expectation that you mentioned earlier that 30 to 40% of the staff may not make it into the hospital?
Well, that's a good question. It really depends on what the specialty of that individual or individuals are and what area that they're working in. Right, because hospitals and other healthcare facilities are good at shifting and having cross-trained personnel, but if there's certain specialties and such, obviously those will be reduced. Typically, in a storm like this, in order to protect the public, the residents of Hawaii, and the community, is a lot of the outpatient services, some of the general patient clinics and stuff that might be in harm's way, they're going to shut down for at least until the hurricane passes because they don't want to put their people in danger as well as a community by going to those facilities in the middle or when a storm is rapidly approaching and get caught in that. So that's one thing that they do to kind of prevent. So, I mean, there are going to be services that are going to be reduced, usually the outpatient type services and clinics and some of the lower acuity items. The higher acuity, you know, there's a variety, again, of different things that we do, as well as if patients are in need of some services and staffing is impacting certain areas. And what we do is we coordinate the movement of those patients to other facilities that may have that capability within the state as well. So, again, there's a lot of different things that we can do to ensure that key essential services are continue to be provided. And that's more of the urgent and ensuring that the chronic needs of the community are being met. But typically, like the going in to have a mole removed or something small like that obviously would be put on hold during any type of a significant event like this when those winds and rain are approaching.
And Chris, one of the outpatient services that we hear a lot about in Hawaii as there being a shortage of is dialysis. And how will that service be affected during an event like this?
That's a great question because I've been on the phone talking with them and we've been doing a lot of planning and we have them extremely well integrated. We have there's several things that they've been doing. They've been reaching out to their dialysis patients, communicating with them, letting them know. Some of them are shutting down when the storm is going over top. And what they're doing when that's being shut down is they're pre-dialyzing patients, meaning bringing them in early. A lot of the facilities are doing, I think most of them are going to temporarily shut down when the storm's over top, obviously, for safety reasons. But they pre-dialyze them. Again, bring them in early, give them dialysis, and give them a menu to take home that's a diet plan that helps to extend their time to the next dialysis treatment in the event that things are disrupted. And there are several things that they're doing as well is following the storm after they do the assessment on their facility and ensure that it's still functional and stuff like that, they're going to open them back up. They're going to augment their staff, meaning increase their staff significantly to catch up those folks that were unable to get in early.
And so, Chris, what should members of the general public know as the storm begins to as we begin to feel the effects of the storm across the state, if you find yourself in need of medical treatment of any kind, what should you do? Where should you go? And what should your expectations be realistically?
Sure. Unless it's an acute, like in an emergency, emergencies should go to the ER. But for the chronically ill, generally part of the preparation is ensuring you have medication on hand that'll last you a week, bringing that to a shelter, or if you're sheltering in place at home, to make sure that you have it in a place that you can access quickly. That's one big point. And they should feel a level of comfort in the fact that here in Hawaii, which is unique because the healthcare, we're so integrated emergency management wise, is that if they're in a shelter and they start to become ill, or it's a couple days and they do generally get dialysis and they're concerned about it, is they just speak with the Red Cross, and the Red Cross will go through the county and then they will connect with us. And I have of what dialysis centers are open, and we work the moving if we have to move the patients to a different dialysis center. A lot of the dialysis centers have provided prescriptions to their dialysis patients, and what that does is that allows those patients to go to other dialysis centers that may not be that particular one, or maybe with a different company, and allows them to get the dialysis that they need. Prescriptions and stuff like that is the same thing, in the sense of the best part and recommendation that I have for everybody is that they need to ensure individual and family preparedness, and to have things on hand. And if you're on medications, make sure you have enough of that. And if you're on insulin, to understand that having a generator is extremely important, because some of that has to be refrigerated. And over time, if it's not, it can degrade and they can't use it, and then they're going to be short that. But they can reach out. There is a process for reaching out, and there is a process through our partnership with Department of Health as well, is to get them what they need. But they need to also prepare and to have that on hand as responsible residents, of which, you know, we have strong communities, and a lot of them, as you've seen from the stores and such like that, are really taking this storm seriously and preparing the best way they can.
That was Chris Crabtree, director of the Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management Agency. The organization is responsible for ensuring Hawaii's healthcare system remains effective during an emergency. He urged residents to stock up on critical medications, prepare a basic medical kit, and only seek professional medical aid for emergencies and acute conditions.